We'll continue our study today on the fear of the Lord, which is a general introduction to the Proverbs. Because as Proverbs 1:7 states, as many of you, I'm sure, memorized it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Last week we introduced our topic by stating that the fear of the Lord, according to Charles Bridges, is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. Or I found this week another definition from the Puritan John Flavel. The fear of the Lord is a gracious habit or principle planted of God in the soul, whereby the soul is kept under and holy awe of the eye of God, and from thence is inclined to perform and do what pleaseth him, and to shun and avoid whatever he forbids and hates. Another good definition. We are looking at the fear of the Lord from an angle which I'm posing as a question. Who are the siblings of the fear of the Lord? Or, as one author suggested, these are simply synonyms for the fear of the Lord. Now, last week, I believe I had 15, but there's a few that were given birth this week in study. Now, I have 17 siblings, plus the fear of the Lord is 18, and there are two sets of twins in there as well. So, we're growing in our study. Again, these are synonyms to the fear of the Lord. We looked at knowing God and His person as the first. And we quoted Matthew Henry, who put it quite well. Those know nothing who do not know this. Those know enough who know how to fear God. An excellent summary and sermon, as it were, on this very verse, on this topic of the fear of the Lord. Secondly, we looked at the sibling of worshiping God as creator, sustainer, redeemer, judge. And one of the points that came up this week, a subpoint or twin to the worship of God, is glorifying God. As I was reading in our family worship, the Gospel of Luke, we came upon that passage where the only widow's son had died. And it states that, and fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has cared for his people. They had a fear of the Lord, and they glorified God. And we saw that from the Revelation last week as well, where they were singing the song of Moses, they were fearing and glorifying God. And we noted that each part of God's character ought to be studied to increase our fear of him, even his wrath. A neglected part of God's character today. Thirdly, we saw the sibling of a repentant faith. And again, the growing study this week, I was reading Hebrews 11, and the author states there that by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, having become reverent, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Noah became reverent. He feared the Lord and thus obeyed the Lord. Again, John Flavel put it this way, sinful fears have slain some, and godly fears have saved others. Noah's fear of the Lord was the means of saving his family and, yea, the world. The fourth sibling was loving the Lord. The fifth, and we concluded last week, was confidence in the Lord our refuge. And today we'll continue with the sixth sibling of the fear of the Lord, and that is hope in the Lord. And I trust these words wouldn't sound strange, but the scripture is quite plain that fear and hope coexist in the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. The fear of the Lord does not contradict hope in the Lord. Spurgeon put it this way, their fear sobers their hope, and their hope brightens their fear. How true. These again are synonyms, twin graces. Reading another author, this illustration came to mind, especially we were fishing yesterday, and I trust those of you who are fishermen will identify with this, but the fear of the Lord is like the sinker which takes your line to the bottom of the water. But the hope of the Lord is like the bobber that lifts it up. I thought that was a good illustration of those two parts, which if you're fishing in that form, you know that you need both. And the fear of the Lord and the hope of the Lord are sort of the sinker and bobber, which give us a spiritual equilibrium. The seventh sibling of the fear of the Lord is peace and comfort in the Lord. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Foolishness is not only sin, but it brings turmoil. And the fear of the Lord brings peace, the opposite of turmoil. Like the man in Ecclesiastes 6:2, which we recently studied, whom God gave riches, wealth, and honor, and yet God had not empowered him to eat from them. He had all this stuff, food, riches, wealth, but he couldn't enjoy them. And the sinful fool may be rich and have a feast, and he may drive the best car and have the best house, but he has turmoil with it. Unlike the person who fears the Lord, who has peace and comfort. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. As recorded in Exodus 20:20, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, literally be before you, so that you may not sin. Do not be afraid, fear the Lord. The way to get rid of other fears is to fear the Lord, thus bringing peace and comfort. Or Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The fear of the Lord enables the believer to sleep in peace, to sleep satisfied. One author put it this way, the hours of night are a time when men feel themselves particularly exposed to attack from dark and malignant forces, and when the security afforded by Yahweh is particularly precious. Most crimes are committed in the night. Don't we find that even in sleep we can rest, we can have comfort, we can have peace in the midst of great trial, even in the night? Or as recorded by Luke in Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Again, note the proximity of the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Are not these plainly synonyms? In the eighth place, the eighth sibling of the fear of the Lord is life in the Lord. That is present life and ultimately life eternal. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. I've been seeking to meditate on this verse much this week, and this phrase, a fountain of life, is a deep phrase that I confess that I have not plumbed its depths. But it may be understood for the total meaning of life, not just years, because as we know, even the most godly people will die physically. So we must look, yes, there is a present fulfillment that wisdom and the fear of the Lord tend to increase life. And yet ultimately we find the fulfillment in eternity and in the value of the life lived. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Bridges, Charles Bridges, our favorite commentator, puts it this way: the wise lives long in a little while, but the fool is living little in a long time. So it's not only years that are referred to here, but the quality of life, how one is living. To live life to the hilt, or as Peter records it, let he who would love life and see many days follow the Lord. Proverbs 9, 10, and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, that is wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. The principle of wisdom leads to life. There's not a guarantee that we will live to 100 because we're fearing the Lord, but the principle is a protected life, an ultimate blessing. Deuteronomy 6:24, so the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is to this day. Do we look at the fear of the Lord as the way for our survival? A great challenge to each of us. The ninth sibling of the fear of the Lord is success, honor, and wealth. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. There are real, present, and physical benefits to fearing the Lord and exercising God's wisdom. Godliness tends to success, though there are no guarantees to earthly success because you're godly. But the principle of the Proverbs is, and of all the Word of God, that godliness tends to success. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor, a general principle. Consider Proverbs 31, the beautiful picture of a wise and godly woman. In the concluding verses, it's stated that she shall be praised. Let her works praise her. Because she is godly, she will be praised, she will be honored. This woman was successful because she feared the Lord and used God's wisdom to accomplish her goals. She was a great success because she feared the Lord. One of the principal examples in the Word of God for wisdom is Joseph. And Stephen lays hold of this in his message in Acts 7, 9, and 10, where he says, God was with him, that's Joseph, and rescued him from all his afflictions, and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. God gave Joseph wisdom. God gave Joseph a fear of himself, and Pharaoh saw it and promoted him. At Weyerhaeuser, we have our individual development plan, your plan for your career, the plan for the future. And I'm sure my manager would be shocked if I put in there, the fear of the Lord is my way to success. Now, I may not put that in there, but I ought to be living that out. If I want to succeed, if we want to have success in life and be profitable in this world as Joseph was, let us fear the Lord and be wise that we would find success, honor, and riches, not from a sinful motive, but from a holy one. Also, we must view these verses in the ultimate sense of reward. Again, we have the physical reward, but there is the future. And of course, the greatest reward that the Father has blessed us with, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places with Christ. Ultimately, we need the coming of Christ to see the great reward of the fear of the Lord and faith in Christ. We'll do a couple more, and I think we'll have to continue again next week. But we come to the tenth sibling of the fear of the Lord, humility. Humility, another synonym of the fear of the Lord. Humility and its rewards. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Humility. When one fears the Lord, he is made humble. Packer, in his excellent book, Knowing God, which we recommended last week, describes humility in this way: to acknowledge our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts. If we fear the Lord, this will be our posture. We will see God, who He is, and then we see ourselves for who we truly are. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Humility and the fear of the Lord. And what a great grace to cultivate in ourselves. And even James recognized this in James 4:6, where he wrote, "But he, God, gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." A quote from Psalm 138:6. This is a true health and wealth doctrine. We are offended by the shenanigans of modern charismania that promises people things that the Scripture does not promise. And yet let us not have a knee-jerk response, because the Scripture teaches us that the fear of the Lord has rewards, physical and spiritual. The 11th sibling of the fear of the Lord is teachability, or teachableness. Really, we could have started here, but let's look at Proverbs 1:29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And what is the opposite of hating knowledge? But wanting knowledge, wanting to be taught by the Lord, to be teachable. The wise person never thinks that he has arrived. Because he fears the Lord, he wants to learn more. He wants to learn knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's a beginning place. It's the base, the starting point for which we go forward. Teachability. Pride, which is, we'll see many contrasts as we look at the fear of the Lord. Pride is the great contrast. And pride robs us of our ability to learn, because we think we know it all. If we fear the Lord, we are acknowledging our own littleness. But if we're proud, we don't need to hear anything God has to say. In the letter to the Laodicean church, a church that had an epistle according to Colossians, the Laodicean church, Jesus said, "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." May God deliver us, even as reformed believers, to not be proud, but to be humble in the fear of the Lord. The wise person is always learning and growing. Like the person in Psalm 92:14, they will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green. The fear of the Lord causes Christians to keep growing their entire life, because they are humble. They are looking to the Lord. And I can't help but think of, many of you remember Irene Bailey, a dear sister that is with the Lord now. Irene used to come to our Sunday night meetings when her church was not meeting. This woman was full of sap and very green. She was teachable. Even into her late 80s, she was teachable because she feared the Lord. I think we'll conclude there. What questions or comments might you have this morning? Okay, well, why don't we conclude in prayer, and then next week we I trust if it works out or whenever we get the chance, we will conclude our study on the fear of the Lord, which really is, I thought of it this week, it's sort of the kindergarten. You know, it's the beginning of education. You can't go to first grade, second grade if we have grades. You can't continue on unless you start here. And if we're able in the future to look at other studies in the Proverbs, such as diligence versus laziness, the good wife versus the bad wife, humility versus pride, gossip versus silence, we must start right here with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So why don't we conclude in prayer? Almighty God, we confess that we have not feared you as we ought. And indeed, you are the Lord of glory. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us to be like those in heaven who are described as those who fear your name. Lord, cause the fear of yourself to increase even today in all these beautiful synonyms, Lord, of knowing you, of worshiping you, of glorifying you, of having faith, of loving you. Lord, that we would be well-balanced as believers, that we would be described as your word describes us, growing and abounding in holiness. Have mercy and help us. Help us to worship you even in the hour to come. For Christ's sake, amen.